As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
He's getting close, but you know, we all got to be real in this thing. And I think the learning curve of where he's at a great place. Are there still mistakes? Yeah, of course. But he learns from them. So now he can take that and use it the next time he's out there. It's Hogan
Johns. I just got more comfortable. I don't really get upset if I miss a throw.
Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly growing every day.
I know that I can make that throw.
My goal is to just improve every day.
There's always going to be things that I'm going to have to work on. At the end of the day, you know, football is football.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Ho.
Justin, it just looks different. The ball just zips.
And From the Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
His ability to put the ball consistently in areas for only his guy to get it, that's different.
It's the Adams.
Greatness doesn't happen overnight, you know, it's a process.
Hogan Johns.
The Adams converge.
Let's begin now.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogue and Johns with you. Week 2 of the preseason, week 4 of training camp. Kind of at the halfway point, basically, between when camp started and when the regular season begins. What's up, Johnsy?
What's going on? I think somebody in the media room called these the dog days of camp.
Yes.
I don't know if that's entirely true, but it was a hot one today.
It was hot. Today was confusing. It's like if there was a breeze, it felt like very, 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 very comfortable. And then for some reason, right where the media is in the stands, it's like someone joked that they somehow installed a magnifying glass right between the sun and us, where like it's just the hottest spot.
Yeah. Even Tom Thayer walked up there like, wow, it is like hot up here. It wasn't the hot takes you were hearing from the last row either. It was, I don't know if the last few days were just pleasant. The last couple of days were just milder that we were there, but I don't know. Today felt really hot.
I'm still recovering. I got my, look at this, our friends at Element. I got it right here, ready to go. This was not planned, by the way. I just happen to be putting this in my water bottle right now as we get started, because you got to hydrate on these hot days in camp, right?
Very, very much so.
I know Kevin Fishman went and got some water today and didn't get me one. He did pour it all over Mark Grody, though, at one point. Would you like to answer for yourself, Kevin Fishman, who is with us on today's episode of the podcast?
What's up, guys? It's good to be back. I'm glad my return has coincided with the very embarrassing moment of pouring water on poor Mark Grody.
You felt legitimately awful to the point that I felt awful for you. Like, I felt worse for you than I felt for Grody, because Grody, it was hot. I would have actually loved if you had done that to me. It was so hot. The water part of it was good. You got a little on a cell phone. That was the only unfortunate part. But I think that was the most entertaining moment of camp so far for us.
Yeah, you know, the cap of my water bottle had fallen, so I was capless, and I just forgot that I was capless and literally just like tilted the water bottle over as I was getting something out of my pocket. So it's like Grody looked up, there's just a stream of water pouring on him. So
you don't want to be capless, like David Capless. You don't want that.
No.
Well, that was funny. He did the thing where you forgot there was no cap and it just tipped and then it poured all over him like a water fountain. That was fun.
Guys, can I do a quick breaking news?
Is it real breaking news, or is this going to have something to do with Northwestern?
No, this is breaking news and it's very relevant to the podcast.
Okay.
The Bears have waived Ladarius Mack.
Oh, my goodness.
Get out.
And Michael Joseph, friend of the Athletic.
Poor Khalil Mack just spoke like glowingly about being able to play with his brother today. He did. Oh, like
I want to see, because so Ladarius Mack was not practicing today, and Michael Joseph broke his hand. Broke his thumb in the preseason game. So could this be a waived injured situation? Could maybe they be, did they forget that word potentially? And maybe they're going to just be on IR so that Ladarius can still stick around? I don't know. For now, he's waived. So I'm
don't they usually announce it though as waived injured?
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just holding out hope. That's all. I mean, listen, you guys got inundated with it on Twitter. That pass rush that Ladarius Mack showed in one of his two snaps, you know, you saw something there.
Wasn't enough. Apparently, you were seeing things wrong at practice too.
Guess
number
so.
Number 53.
Maybe, you know, listen, I don't have good eyesight anymore as I'm getting old. Maybe it was 52 I kept noticing.
That's been
writing 53 in my little notebook.
I feel bad for making fun of the kid. He just got waved, though. We're not making fun of him. We weren't.
It's not him. It's Fishbane.
Yes.
We're making fun of Kevin. My mentions are now filling up with people. Like, I'm happy to be the fan club for one Ladarius Mack.
We are getting tweets about this now, too. Yep. Yep. All right. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe they'll keep, you know, he is Khalil's brother. That Khalil was just talking about him.
Yes, yes.
We just left Hallis Hall, and Khalil Mack was talking about his brother.
Very happy to talk about him, too. Apparently, that was it.
Hey, if you're Ladarius Mack, would you rather spend the season on like another practice squad, but you know you're never going to make the active roster? Or would you spend it just hanging out with your brother, who's one of the best players in football, and get to just live in Chicago?
I feel like you could do the latter, like later in life.
That's true.
Yeah. You know? I think I'd probably still want to pursue my NFL dreams.
Yes. Yes. That would be first.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty easy. Yeah.
Oh, the mentions are filling up, Kev. I'm sorry.
You could.
I think I created a bit of a Ladarius Mack fan club, though, based on the tweets I got from that one.
I will say, people started to watch him more because of you. That's something.
I'll take that.
The power you have. And now, why isn't it an option for Ladarius Mack to just hang out at the Fishbane house all season?
Oh, we have update to the breaking news.
Okay.
The official email from the Bears says the Chicago Bears waive the following injured players.
Ah,
starting to think the Bears don't really realize how waived injured works from a verbiage standpoint. It's very simple. You just say the guy was waived injured. Like the Carolina Panthers just posted they waived injured somebody. That's how you. Yeah. That's how you're supposed to do it. But it's semantics, I guess. But semantics kind of a big difference.
Sounds like you're taking this personally.
What's this guy?
He's become my guy. So this will now probably end the Ladarius Mack portion of the Hogan Johns podcast, maybe forever.
Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like he's going to be around. He's waived injured.
Hey, he'll have some free time. Maybe he can come on the pod during the season.
Make it happen.
At this point, we need to make it happen.
Listen, if Ladarius Mack was going to go on any podcast, it would probably be this one, right?
Have you talked to Ladarius Mack? Is he like his brother? Like, is he tough to get things out of, like his brother? Or
I want to say he talked to the. Did he talk to the media once? Maybe last year in a Zoom.
It would have had to have been like rookie mini camp of last year, but there was no rookie mini camp.
I feel like somebody did a story, and I'm Kevin. You did this story on the basketball games that Khalil Mack would host at his house, but
I did. But
I don't think Ladarius. That's pre Ladarius.
Yeah, Ladarius was still in college, so I think our good friend Patrick Finley might have written about him last year.
Okay. Well,
anyway,
maybe we need to get him on the pod, I guess. All right. Well, this is not going to be a Ladarius Mack goodbye podcast or emergency podcast, but tough day for Kevin Fishbane. He spills a whole bottle of water on Mark Grody, then his guy gets waved injured. Okay, well, meanwhile, while all that was going on, I was watching some quarterback play at Hallis Hall. today. And by the way, welcome in Adam Hoge, Adam Johns, Kevin Fishbane. We're all here. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, at Adam Johns, at K Fishbane. Read these guys on The Athletic. You got The Athletic hat on today, Kevin Fishbane. For those watching on YouTube, YouTube.com, you've heard of it, and find the Hoge and Johns channel. Please subscribe. Please check the little bell notification thing. You'll find out when we go live, which we have plans to do once we get closer to the regular season. And you can read me at NBCSportsChicago.com. Just filed a column on, believe it or not, the quarterbacks. Shocking, I know. But Andy Dalton won the day. He won the day.
Wait, is the quarterback meter back?
No, I'm not. I'm not gonna lie. It crossed my mind after how Justin
to bring it back.
After how Justin played on Saturday, it was in my head, and I'm like, yeah, it's still not really a competition.
So if you're new to this podcast, especially those on YouTube, Adam Hoge ran this quarterback meter where every day it was updated based on what Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky were doing last year. By the end of the season, Mitch Trubisky had the slight edge, but he will not bring it back because this is not an open competition quite yet, is it?
No.
Never has been. I don't think it ever will be in camp. That's where I'm coming.
Well, but
that's where my conclusion is.
Okay. Well, then tell me if you disagree with this, because this was my lead in my story yesterday. It may not be an open competition, and I agree with you that it'll never be called an open competition, but it sure as hell is a competition, don't you think?
Yeah. For the sake of competition, I guess. I don't know. I mean, Justin Fields needs to be outstanding every single day for Matt Nagy to change his mind. Even just to get more reps with the first team, which was just one with Allen Robinson and Marquise Goodwin today. Like, in order for that to change, he's got to be probably better than he was today because, like you said, Andy Dalton won the day.
I agree. And if he's going to get, you know, push for more reps with the first team, I don't think today was, you know, a great showing. And the funny thing is we thought that one pass he threw to Marquise Goodwin was a good throw. And then, you know, sometimes our vantage point isn't the greatest when you're on the other side of the field. And it turns out the guy was like three yards out of bounds. And it was because of the throw. The throw was out of bounds. It looked like Goodwin was open and the throw wasn't there. So it really wasn't that good of a throw by Justin Fields. And appreciate the fans in attendance for correcting us, even if it was with some illegal video. So,
not
I guess
we would condone anything like that, but
no, I don't have. It's not my rule, and I don't mind
it,
when
you got it. No, yeah, if
you, and you put in my timeline so I can see a replay of something from practice. I'm not complaining.
No.
How about this though, guys? I was very intrigued this week to see how Dalton responded. He didn't really have a fair shot Saturday. Six plays. Never was going to have the same amount of reps that Justin Fields got, which I believe was 33. And Fields obviously looked great. Regardless, you know, he's on the sideline. The crowd goes wild when Fields comes in the game. It's like an electric preseason moment for as much as you can have an electric preseason moment. And I was just curious to see how Dalton responds. And I thought yesterday was okay. I thought today was much, much better. He did have the interception to Eddie Jackson, but in terms of how the two quarterbacks looked today, it was obvious that Andy was the better quarterback.
Matt Nagy, I think in response to your question, did you want to play the soundbite first before I comment on it? Or
sure. We have this ready for you. I asked Matt today, basically what we're talking about, how has Andy been the last couple days since what happened on Saturday?
You know, this is such a unique situation. And for a guy like Andy, where I feel really comfortable is knowing that he's comfortable his own skin and he believes in himself and he knows that we believe in him. And that's not easy being on that sideline for that game and hearing, you know, when Justin runs out and all the cheers. I mean, let's just face it. If that was any of us, that's hard. It's not easy. But at the same point in time, it's a part of the business and he understands the excitement. He's not saying, why is everyone cheering for Justin? He gets it. He understands it. You know, he's helping Justin get to this point. That's what I love about Andy. And I think that our teammates see that and they feel that. They know not only of everyone talks about he's a great person, but he's coming out here and he's making a lot of plays in practice. And the players are seeing that. And so he handles it great. He's a true pro. He's out. He's doing everything we're asking him to do. And I think that's the only thing that we can really worry about right now is just, again, just come out here and practice hard, man. Just do everything you can. We know it's not easy. But if you just worry about being the best Bears quarterback you can be, help everybody else out. You'll help us out. And in the end, it's a win for everybody. And I think that's where sometimes in these situations, it can, whether it's the outside nature that tries to get two quarterbacks to go against each other. And again, I'll bring up Alex. We had a good conversation with Alex. And these two guys, it's, you know, Alex went through this. You can't do this right here, right, with those two. Those two guys, now, they got to be going this way. One might be here and one might be there, but they're never doing this. And I think that's, if you just keep it super simple, that's where we're at in our room right now. That's where we're at with our team. And when you have that, it's positive. You know, it's healthy. And guys grow. Andy becomes better. Justin becomes better. Nick becomes better. We become better because they're doing it this way together. They're not going against each other. I think if you keep it that real, then good things happen.
What I was thinking there when Matt Nagy was saying that, not so much about the cheering that Justin Fields got. Like, that was expected. Like, fans were going to be excited to see him. That's why they came to that first preseason game. Everybody wanted to see Justin Fields. But if you're Dalton, you're not wondering about that. It's that, hey, later in the game, Nick Foles got booed twice. Second time, like, off the field. Now, was that necessary? Probably not, but that could be a reaction you get in the future because, again, everybody is excited about Justin Fields. They will cheer for him, and they will boo you if you happen to stink. Let's be honest. It's his reality. Is it not? Like, forget thinking about the cheering that Justin Fields got. Think about the booing that Nick Foles got in the preseason.
Can you just imagine, by the way, I'm just trying to picture these fans that for the last 9 months have had this just anger pent up at Nick Foles and just let it unleash on what was arguably the most positive day the franchise has had. Like, at least in a game setting in years. And it's like, it could not have been going any better. And then it's just Nick Foles has entered the meeting and everybody boos.
I mean, I get that maybe his press conference, like his last press conference where he talked about slicing and dicing up third teamers may have been a factor. But at the same time, you know, like, everybody just wants to see Justin Fields. I feel people were disappointed that Justin Fields was taken out of the game, as he should have been. But that is like Andy Dalton's reality. Not the cheering for Justin Fields. Like, that's going to happen. It's dealing with the scrutiny of poor performances. He's not going to be perfect. He's just not. And if he happens to struggle in his Bears debut at Soldier Field, or he struggles going into the second quarter against the Bills this weekend, like, it's, there's going to be some jeering. There is.
I feel like Andy Dalton is, like, he can handle that. I mean, it's not like the guy had some success in Cincinnati, but, like, I think we, you know, you can get a sense of the way Bengals fans felt about Andy Dalton, which was like, yeah, he's fine, but then he never took them past the first round of the playoffs. So that's somebody that, you know, he was, you know, sent out of town, was a backup last year, and then had to play for, you know, the most popular football team in the world, and he did not play well. So, yeah, I mean, like, in terms of, you know, when Matt Nagy talks about that, in terms of Andy Dalton handling that, I mean, I feel like this is nothing for Andy Dalton. But it's just a weird dynamic. It's a strange thing for him to be a part of, and for him to be able to have the cognitive dissonance to just focus on what he has to do and his job, which is, he is a starting quarterback to lead this team to as many wins as he can. You know, so far from everything we've seen, he's handled it pretty well.
I love this tweet from @sniper1154. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened, Kevin. That's back to the Ladarius Mack thing. But yeah, to your point.
That was deep.
From everything that they've said about Dalton and the things that he has said, I thought he would handle this okay. But you still have to show it, right? And you have to bounce back with strong practices. And again, I thought yesterday was just okay. I thought today was good. Not even great, just good. But I think that actually maybe the bigger story was, I mean, would you call today Justin Fields' worst practice of camp? I mean, so it wasn't, first of all, I want to be fair, it wasn't just him. It was that whole second unit. There were too many balls on the ground. There were drops. There was a couple botched snaps, if I remember right. There were some penalties.
Some false starts.
false starts. Everything just looked disjointed. And then the one thing, and I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, like the one thing that's been really encouraging to me about Justin Fields is even on the days where he hasn't necessarily had a great day, most of his passes have like been pinpoint accurate. Like the ball is usually coming out with zip and it ends up in the hands of the receiver, or at least like within a small catch radius, rather than if you think about how many times like Mitch Trubisky would throw a ball and it's like, man, you got really have to have a large catch radius to get to it, because it wasn't just that pinpoint accuracy. And today was not that. Today there were some errant throws. And I don't know, some of it may have been miscommunication, guys just not on the same page, but just something looked off to me today. And you're allowed to have that happen, right, every once in a while. And this has been the exception, not the rule, especially for Justin Fields, but it just wasn't great today.
No, I think some of that has to deal with maybe the expectations changing a bit, because he had that great practice against the Dolphins. He looked darn good against the Dolphins in the preseason game too, so the expectations maybe have changed a bit, and that should apply to everybody who's playing with him now. I think he did end with a decent throw, with a pretty good throw that got everybody going to his guy, tight end Jesse James,
where he went up and got it for it.
Yeah, I think he had another good throw over the middle to Riley Ridley in the final 7-on-7 drill, where he fired it in through some tight coverage and through some traffic. Great catch by Riley Ridley, but you did see some drops. You don't see a lot of separation from his guys, and I do think like he gave Javon Wims a couple opportunities to go up and get it. Javon Wims did not go up and get it, as you would know, Adam. Yeah. And
I'm surprised Javon Wims is still on the roster. That's
I think sometimes we could get that in a second, but like I think the expectations have changed a bit. Where like I want to see him more with the starters. I want to see him throwing those contested, go up and get a balls to Allen Robinson, not Javon Wims. Like that's where I'm at least in my thought process in watching Justin Fields at practice. Like my expectations have changed. So I don't know if that answers some of the concerns you saw today, but yeah, there was some sloppiness with the second team offense that continued from different team drill to different team drill. Situations didn't seem to matter.
Yeah, I thought the whole second team offense was just out of sync, and it meant Justin Fields wasn't getting any help. He had a throw in 7-on-7 that DeAndre Houston Carson should have picked off, and it was maybe, I thought it might have been Fields' worst throw at camp. I mean, just like it just looked like some kind of, and it might have been a miscommunication or something. It just airmailed a receiver, and Houston Carson was right there. But I do think it's worth noting that it took until this practice for a throw like that to stand out the way that it did. It's like you just, as Hogue, as you were saying, we just have come to expect this precise, you know, the precision in his throws, the way he gets the ball. You know, the Jesse James catch, John, that you mentioned, that was a ball that only Jesse James could catch. You know, he high pointed it as a great catch, but nobody else could catch it. The Marquise Goodwin throw that, you know, might have been out of bounds, you know, the one time he was with the number one receivers, that one snap, the only guy who could catch it was Marquise Goodwin. So we see these glimpses. So I think it's interesting that he had a day like this. And I bet you the coaches are almost, I don't want to say glad, but they're probably looking very eager for tomorrow, right? How does Justin Fields respond from, a not great day? And speaking of kind of those first team reps, you know, Matt Nagy, he said this a couple times, that if they had a game tomorrow, Andy Dalton would be just fine. Like, he'd be ready to go. He could start. He'd be fine. So my follow-up to that might be, well, if he'd be so fine, why can't Justin Fields take some of those first-team reps away?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, because part of me is
sounds
like
you got a question for Nagy later this week, my friend.
Maybe. Because, like, on the one hand, you're like, okay, well, I understand not wanting to take those reps away from Andy Dalton. If he's your starting quarterback, he needs every rep he can get. It's his first time with this team, with all these guys. But if you also think he's good to go, then you could afford to give Fields a series with the first team. And I said this to Johns during practice. I really want, as much as I want to see Fields throwing to Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet, I really want to see him throwing against a Jalen Johnson, an Eddie Jackson, and dealing with the pass rush of a Khalil Mack and that defensive line. You know, we had it a little bit when they did the live drills earlier on in practice, but I want to see that. I want to see what he does against that first team defense.
Yeah, and I think that this is why I was going to go next, because so that came up yesterday with Nagy on Monday, and I don't know how you, I thought what the answer was like, okay, he's going to get more first team reps. I mean, that's basically what he said. And then we didn't see that in practice yesterday. And I got asked by Danny Parkins yesterday on the radio about that. And I was willing to give a pass for one day because, you know, we talked to Matt Nagy right before practice starts every morning. So it's like, okay, well, it's possible that that wasn't necessarily the plan for that day. And he got asked about, but it was the plan for maybe later in the week. So he gets asked about it, he's going to say it's going to happen. And then just because it didn't happen, you know, an hour later doesn't mean that he was lying. And I don't think he was lying now, but we did just see two practices and he got one rep. Now they've worked him in a little bit with the first team offensive line, at least what remains of the first team offensive line. There's been more of those. But it was just one rep today with Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Marquise Goodwin out there in terms of the receivers. And it was against the first team defense, right?
Well, I'm not sure about that, actually.
No, the defense switched.
Yeah, they switched. And there's a lot of guys coming. Even like when the first team, like outside linebackers are in. That doesn't mean Jalen Johnson is in a cornerback. There's a lot of rotations going in. Yeah. Like you'll have your starting defensive line, but your safeties will be different. So they're trying to get a lot of snaps, a lot of different evaluations in. And well, the most important one is still your quarterback. I think we're all in agreement, though. Like it's, I don't know if it's problematic quite yet because we know Matt Nagy was going to be very patient with this, very methodical with this, but. At this point, after two practices, after Matt Nagy saying this, I expected to see more than one snap with Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I did too.
More than one? Maybe two? I would accept two. So far, just one.
And I'm also willing to say, hey, look, if you're wondering why Andy Dalton still needs these first-team reps, we learned this last year. I think the Bears learned this last year. And all that talk about how Nick Foles knew the offense and was going to be comfortable, and it didn't play out that way.
No.
And then it quickly became, oh, he didn't have an offseason here. Now, Andy Dalton has had that offseason. Andy Dalton has been able to put all that equity in, and it's a much longer training camp, and he's going to get more of these preseason reps here. But, you know, I do think he still needs reps. I also think it's possible to give Justin Fields more than he's received. And I do think that there's a lot of value in doing so. And I think that coming off that game would have been a great, because a part of this too that I think needs to always be balanced is the one thing I've learned over the years in the NFL, these players are paying attention to this just as closely as we are. Maybe not just as closely, but pretty closely. Okay, everybody knows, and you even heard Tashaun Gibson talk about it today, safety. He made that comment about like how he hasn't been around many good quarterbacks in his career and how great it is to have a quarterback room like this with having both Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. Remember, Tashaun Gibson played, I think, 3 years in Cleveland, 4 years in Jacksonville. And then he had the 1 year in Houston with Deshaun Watson. So he had one year where he had Deshaun Watson on his team. And then he's in Chicago with what the Bears had last year at quarterback. So they're paying attention to this. And I think there's both an excitement about Justin Fields and what he could do in terms of winning games and moving the football. But there's also, I think, a respect factor to Andy Dalton. So there is a delicate balance to how you start making the shift if you are going to make a shift towards Justin Fields, even just with reps. And I think that like coming off that game Saturday would have been a perfect opportunity with how well Justin played to say, hey, look, it's not going to be a ton, but we're going to move a little bit more reps towards Justin Fields. Now with the way he struggled today, it's not like you can come back tomorrow and do it.
Why not?
Well, you can. I'm just saying, like in terms of if you're going to do it based off of what a guy deserves based on his play.
Well, I still think he deserves it for the way he played against the Dolphins in the preseason in the last week. We've had this conversation. If that continues in the preseason game against the Dolphins, let's test it a little bit more. Obviously, it's a very nuanced plan that they have for Fields, and I don't know if they think he's ahead of schedule, or he's right on schedule, or there were concepts thrown at him today that he needs to work on. And maybe that's why things were out of whack a bit for the second team offense, just in general. Maybe they're challenging everybody a bit more. But we'll see. I mean, well, how does this play out on Saturday? I mean, Dalton gets maybe 20 snaps, 20, 25 snaps.
I'm a little confused by that because based on the answer Nagy gave yesterday, Kevin, I don't know how you thought, but it sounded like he's still committed to giving
Fields as many as possible.
Fields a lot. And he answered a question today, and it does not sound like next week's going to be a starters don't play game.
No, they're playing.
Sounds like they are going to play. So is maybe that going to be the game where they move way more reps towards Dalton? I don't know.
Well, maybe Foles is the one that gets the short end of the stick here because...
well, you know, he has been in practice.
Right. Like, you could see a situation in the preseason where Dalton gets the first quarter and Fields gets second, third, and fourth. You know, or Foles gets the last. Either way, actually, I don't know, Hoke, did you have this in the show rundown? I had a mini rant.
Yes, I do. I was about to get to that next. You are angry about something.
Well, because this could be a nice segue, because what's going to happen is, who's Fields going to be playing against on Saturday? Like, he's going to play against twos and threes again, right?
Most likely.
Unless the Bills are oddly playing their defense longer, I don't know.
And that's probably defenses that doesn't necessarily need a ton of work.
Yeah.
You would think. So, I had this, you know, I understand that fans in this town have some real, like, we've seen some things energy, right? Like,
By the way, is fair.
Yeah, totally fair. Johns and I and our colleagues at The Athletic, we did a whole quarterback series last winter that just outlined why it's fair for people not to be very cautious, not want to get overly excited.
No, but don't care.
Can we please stop with the, we did it against twos and threes. He did it against backups. I don't want to hear it. Every single one of those people watched Justin Fields play. Don't tell me you weren't excited when he scored a touchdown. Don't tell me you weren't excited when he had a 21-yard scramble. I do not care that he was doing that against backups. So, like, it's okay for fans in this town to appreciate that he did stuff on the field that no quarterback in a Bears uniform has ever done already. Like, he's doing things, he has a skill set that we just haven't seen here. And it's okay to just sit back and say, hey, you know what? I know it's the preseason. I know he's playing against backups, but that was pretty cool. And that gets me looking forward to seeing what he can do next. It doesn't mean he's going to Canton, and it also doesn't mean he's going to be a bust. You can just look at it in the moment and just appreciate that he did some good things. He passed the test. That it was the guy's NFL debut. It was his first ever snaps in the NFL. And he scored two touchdowns. It's okay to say, hey, that was pretty cool what he did out there. Instead of like, oh no, like let's pump the brakes here. And also, like, we, every single person who watched that game knows who he played against. You know, I don't need to be inundated with reminders. Now, some of those reminders are coming, I think, from some very jealous fan bases. Got a lot of people with, like, Dolphins logos in their Twitters and
Dead Jets, Vikings Broncos logos.
Yeah. Like, now, again, part of this is my own fault for even bothering to look at my mentions during a football game. But it was the comments section, too. Like, just, like, it is okay to just be happy about the fact that in his first game, he scored two touchdowns. And just leave it at that. It doesn't mean anything for the season. Doesn't mean anything for his career. Just in the moment, he did a couple nice things. That's my rant.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not going to comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces. They work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere, from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
Go, oh, you got a rant too? Rant number two.
I don't have a rant. I have something that I'll probably be accused of going overboard for.
Okay.
Do you know who he reminds me of? Like, let me rephrase this. Do you know what? I'm getting early vibes from him that remind me of a different Chicago athlete when he was a rookie.
Which sport?
Well, if I say the sport, it's going to give it away. But
Derrick Rose?
It's Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
It's Derrick Rose. And part of it is because, just like Justin Fields, Derrick Rose was a highly publicized high school athlete, right? Now, he didn't get as much time in college as Justin Fields did just because of the rules. But, you know, I saw Derrick Rose play in high school. Never saw Justin Fields play in person in high school. But, like, he was the type of guy that dealt with that scrutiny, that attention, right? And did very, very special things even at the high school level, where you're like, whoa, like that translates already to a very high level of play. And if you ever got a chance to see Derrick Rose play in high school, man, it was so special. It was
electric.
He just did not belong on the court with everybody else. And he could jump out of the gym. And then he goes to Memphis. Basically goes as far as Justin Fields did, right? National championship game, loses. So just short of a title. And then they, you know, he gets drafted. Now he goes number one overall to Chicago, but he gets to the Bulls, and it did not take long to realize that all those things that you had already seen in high school and college, like, there was just that it factor, that the stuff was special, that it just translated. And I say that off the heels of what you just said, Kevin, because there's just a certain point where I don't care if it's summer league. I don't care if it's preseason basketball games. Like, the dude just is good. He just is good. And I understand that Justin Fields still has a lot to prove. And he needs to prove it against the Bears first team defense, right? If he ever gets that opportunity. And then he's got to do it in the games. And there's going to be struggles. And there'll probably be even more struggles than Derrick Rose faced. But Derrick took some time, even in a rookie year. Like, it wasn't until, was it year two when he won the MVP? It didn't take long, though, right? So he went through a little bit of growing pains, but you just knew, even while those growing pains were happening, that what he had, what he possessed, was different, and it translated. And I just, the only thing we kind of have to compare this to is Mitch Trubisky as a rookie, and it's just different. It was like, even then, it was just, here's tools. He's got to get a lot of coaching. He's got to get a lot of time. This is different. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I'm getting Derrick Rose vibes. And I don't know if that's too high of a bar to set, but that's just how I feel about it watching him. It reminds me of a different number one for a different team about a decade ago.
Well, to go back to that Trubisky comparison, that showed up in the mentions as well. Like, what did Mitch Trubisky do in his debut? You know, yeah. Of course, we covered that game. We get it. He did very well in his Bears preseason debut as well. to me, it's what we're seeing in practice. Throws that Trubisky just can't make. Never was able to make in all the practices that we covered, the training camps, the games we covered, preseason or not. Justin Fields is doing different things with his arm than Mitch Trubisky. Just is. He's hitting different types of passes. The velocity is different. The spin of the football looks different. The release is different. Everything looks different than Mitch Trubisky. That's just, it's so evident to me. Just, you know, when people bring him up, it just looks, everything about it looks different in terms of him being a quarterback, what Justin Fields is doing.
No, don't care.
And guess Sorry, what? It was okay 4 years ago that we lauded the way Mitch Trubisky performed in his preseason opener. Like, he played well that night against Denver. He completed his 10 first passes. I don't think anybody was saying, this is it, he's arrived, the Bears made the right move. Nobody was saying that. They just said, like, in this moment, in this game, in this test, he did a nice job. And that's what Fields did. But I think the other thing, too, to both your guys' points, is Fields just has this pedigree, right? And again, like, I hate the... I always want to not compare Trubisky, but it's just, how can you not? Fields was just, he was a top rated recruit. He was at Georgia. He was at Ohio State. He played at the highest level. We all saw what he did to Clemson on national television in the college football playoff on the biggest stage, right? Like, he has all these things he's accomplished already. So, like, you know, Mitch Trubisky lost the Sun Bowl. Okay. Like, that, they just came here with different resumes. So, like, you know, you can, there's a little more gravitas behind the things that we're seeing from Justin Fields.
Yeah. And I think there's a different level of pressure and scrutiny that he's already been through, just like Derek had been through it. So yeah, it's, we'll see where it goes, but I think it's exciting to watch. And now I think in the short term, you just, every time Justin has had I think this was his worst practice today, but he's had some other ones that have been just not great days. He usually bounces back the next day with a really, really strong practice. So let's see what it looks like tomorrow. Let's see what it looks like Thursday, and then the game on Saturday against Mitch Trubisky, who I think will play a lot. Like, why are you going to play Josh Allen a lot? You just gave him all that money, right? Probably going to see a lot of Mitch, and he'll certainly get booed, right? Someone asked me that today. Will Mitch get booed? Yes, Mitch is going to get booed. If they booed Nick Foles, they're going to boo Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky was a lot better than Nick Foles last year. But yeah,
I agree.
He's probably going to get booed, which is unfortunate. Like,
yeah, I want to make that clear. I don't condone booing silly. Mitch Trubisky. But I'm just, if you're asking me if it's going to happen, yes. If they booed Nick Foles, they're going to boo Mitch Trubisky.
By the way, I just realized, because the listeners of the show obviously have a very good sense of humor, as I've seen with this Ladarius Mack bit and like the other bits that you guys have on the show. I know the second Justin Fields has a touchdown on Saturday, I'm going to get the smart ones who listen to the show ironically tweeting at me, well, those were against the two, so careful. And I'm going to and I'm going to appreciate those. I will, but it's going to be hard, because I'm not going to know if someone's doing, you know, in with the bit, or is like legitimately trying to, you know, throw water on the something that this guy did in the game.
Yeah, because people get legitimately angry. I've heard the sports radio calls the last couple days.
Speaking of bits, that reminds me very briefly. When I tweeted about Mitch Trubisky and Lauri Markkanen in 2017, that was a bit. That was a bit. That was
me. I hope that starkey. Comes back out again on Saturday. That seems year, like perfect for another go
every
with
year that
come
tweet
Saturday.
Comes
yeah.
back. And I just get like, it ended up, I guess it ended up on Reddit last week. I had like cousins Aww. Texting me. Like, what
Even
is
though,
this?
Even the Old Takes Exposed Twitter account knows it was a bit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even they've had it retweeted at them so many times, they know it's not real.
Folks, in June 2017, people did not think Mitch Trubisky was a good pick. And people did not think Lauri Markkanen was a good pick. Okay, so like when I tweeted that out, like, yeah. Now, I will say, if the two of them actually turned out to be great players who did run this town, I would take full credit for that tweet. Yeah. And I yep. would tell everybody that I called it.
Yes. You called it.
I know it's just a bit.
Yeah.
I have to confess, I did actually like the Lauri Markkanen pick.
Yeah, I didn't hate that as much. But I remember, am I wrong?
Like it at all. No,
did it get
like
a lot of criticism?
No.
Like, I feel like it got a lot of flack, that pick. Or, I don't know.
What are you talking about? Johns, you heard a Lauri Markkanen literally 90 seconds ago. No. It was the first time you'd ever heard
of him. Nice try. We all saw him play in college.
Where'd he play?
Arizona, right?
Okay, I just wanted to check. Oh. I liked him in Arizona. I did.
He's part of a good team. Didn't they make a run that year? Sweet 16?
Johns, have you started doing your research for week one college football picks?
No. You have with that Northwestern golf polo.
Big Northwestern news today. In the middle of Tashaun Gibson's press conference?
Yeah, I don't know. All due respect to Tashaun Gibson, I have no idea what he said. From 11:59 a.m. to 12:04 p.m. today. Whatever he said in those 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they, just shout out to PK and that staff over there. They dropped the awful news that Cam Porter out for the year. For those that don't know, rising running back, already on the Doak Walker Award list, had a great freshman year last year, and that's honestly a big blow to Northwestern. So that gets dropped, and then. What, 3 minutes go by after that? They tweet out they're like, all right, let's just drop the quarterback news right now. And it's Hunter Johnson. That surprised me. You get your 15 seconds on Hunter Johnson starting now.
I think it could be a great story. It could be a great comeback story if this guy turns out to be a productive starter. I think the fact that he won the job this early tells me that he went out in camp and won it, as opposed to Ryan Helinski losing it. So I'm going to try to be hopeful. It would be a great story if this guy could go from really bad in 2019, relegated to like third string last year, to winning a starting job and leading this team to a bunch of wins. So I'm hopeful for him. Go Cats.
Yeah, I was surprised the move was announced this soon.
Because you know Fitz loved, a couple of years ago, taking the quarterback decision all the way up to like the seconds before kickoff. Like he just, yeah. I feel like he just gets giddy over screwing with the opposing team and the media about that. So I was a little surprised that he just lost, you know, 2.5 weeks of that playing games.
He did. Fitz had a great tweet yesterday, by the way, about them not being ranked. Through, you know, he did a little, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he said, we weren't ranked last year either, and then we ended up with more hardware than most of the teams that were ranked ahead of us. And then he had the old Will Ferrell gif from that old Funnier Die video with the little girl and the beers. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is he like the landlord? That video?
Yeah. Or no, she's the landlord,
she's
right?
She's the landlord,
and she,
yeah.
She comes and demands things, and she wants beers, and he's yelling at her, "You need to relax." It's a good gift. It's a hilarious video. If you have not seen that video, you got to find it. It's awesome. All right. Well, also awesome. Usually our voicemail line. Have not heard these, but we did open the voicemail line. It kind of a spontaneous decision on Saturday during the Justin Fields debut. Said, hey, why not? I've had so many weeks of voicemails right in the past with terrible quarterback play. Here's a great moment. Let's see how the fans are doing. So we opened up the voicemail line. Our awesome producer, Kent Garrison, put these together. Here they are, your voicemails from Justin Fields' Bears debut.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail. The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game.
Go Bears!
Justin Fields needs to start week one. I've seen the top of the mountain. I can't go back down to the bottom. We can't go back. We've seen heaven. We can't go to hell. Justin Fields, he needs to start.
This was the funnest time I've had as a Bears fan in the last 3 or 4 years. Justin Fields is the real deal.
Outside the glory that was Justin Fields, and we should all just be so happy. How good does our defense look? Robert Quinn was getting in the backfield. Our second and third string D-line was just demolishing it. I mean, it is going to be a good season with a competent quarterback as long as Matt Nagy puts Fields in. I mean, they're down.
Hello, it is Igor Tcharkovsky. I am calling in after a long absence in 2020 season, and I must say I am a little bit confused. For you see, I was always told Chicago Bear great defense, no quarterback. Oh, if only they find quarterback. But somehow we have stunning muscular Terminator starting at quarterback for the Chicago Bears. This is something I have never experienced before in my life, but I must say, I am quite enjoying.
Oh boy, they had us in the first half. Coming into the third quarter, it was Justin Fields time, baby! Go Bears!
Hogan Johns, did we just see the new becoming of the greatest Bears quarterback of all time? I think we did. I mean, Hogan Johns, come on, you guys see it, we all see it. This guy's out there moving without any effort. He's like dicing up the defense. I don't even care if it's a second string. He looks smooth. Come on. You're telling me you're going to play Andy Dalton over this guy? I don't even care about the line. It's about getting this guy experience. Put him out there week one. Let's go. Come on. He is so good.
I've seen enough. Give him a gold jacket already. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Justin Fields is it.
Hey, guys. This is Alex from Rockford. I have one word for Justin's debut today. Poise. Now let's get him practicing with the first teamers next week. Bear down.
Poise. That's it. That's the voicemail. Nothing rattles this guy. He just gets it. It's great to have a franchise quarterback in Chicago.
Woo! Man, that boy Justin Fields looked good. But as we saw, got off to a rocky start. But patience is a virtue. We gotta let him learn and develop. But boy, were we excited to see him.
Love to see our new quarterback, Justin Fields, a.k.a. the third savior of the world. Go Bears.
I'm just so happy. He's just so good. I'm just so happy.
All right, always love the voicemails. Good job, as always, from our listeners. Good to have those back in our lives once again. I forget, did we open those up at the draft, too?
I think so.
I think we did. That's probably the last time.
We got to do it again on Saturday as well, right? Trubisky versus Fields.
Oh. I was going to say, will you guys wait till Mitch's second or third touchdown before you open it up on Saturday?
I put this in
second
my story.
Second incomplete pass.
I put this in my story today. It's like a very odd, weird Christmas Carol dynamic where you have the ghosts of Bears quarterbacks, past, present, and future, all on the field on Saturday.
That's pretty good.
With obviously Dalton representing the present, Justin Fields the future. Nick Foles still around.
Yeah, where does he fit in? Is he like
I don't know. He's part of the past too, even though he's also part of the present.
He's like one of the ghosts. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
He's
Scrooge. He's Scrooge.
Yeah, he's Scrooge standing there with the arm folded, getting two reps of practice. Like, come on, can I just get like one rep with a decent player?
How's everyone doing? This is Nick Foles. Just entered the meeting.
Like, I don't want to make this sound like we're making fun of the guy, but who mentioned that in practice? Like, hey, look at Nick Foles. Like, at one point, there was just all ones and twos getting reps in practice, and Nick Foles is just standing there. Yeah. Arms crossed, staring at things. Was it you? Someone make note of that when we were watching practice towards the end of things.
I think it was Pat Finley who was like, you think Nick Foles is just like, can I get one rep?
I think Grody noticed it, but then I poured water on him, so he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything.
Where's our friend Patrick Finley?
I do think that John, one of you guys said this to me yesterday, that Foles just like lets it rip whenever he's in there. I mean, he's throwing more deep balls in training camp with his limited reps, I think, than Dalton and Fields combined.
Like there's so many effort throws. He just comes in and chucks it.
It's great. And he's completed a lot of them. So good for him.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, we make fun of his slicing and dicing comment, but there are some absolute lasers thrown into tight coverage where he's actually demanding these guys catch the ball. And he's upset with them if they don't. I've seen that a few times in practice. And sometimes they are completed. You have to give him that.
He said he was going to slice and dice. Let's see if he could do it in the game against the Bills. I just love this preseason game. Come on. You could not have... For us to have to sit through a preseason, this is a pretty awesome preseason. First of all, they chopped off one of the games, which is great. Okay. And you get Justin Fields is out there playing a lot. So that's great. The second game, you have Trubisky coming back to Chicago, which is awesome. And then the third game, I don't know what's going to happen. It could suck, but at least it's in Nashville. Okay. There's worse places to go. Maybe, I don't know, right now with the whole pandemic, it's not a great place to go, but I can live with Nashville.
Absolutely. We'll get a little barbecue in outside.
Yeah. Got to. All right. I got to bring up one more thing, though, because we, speaking of our awesome listeners that are always in on these bits, you need to know, Johns, that when you leave, you have fans that come by and heckle you for not watching special teams.
At the end of practice? I very much leave, like, right when that final team period is over. Like, I am gone. Like, actually, I leave before this even over. Nick Foles takes the field for that one snap. I am gone. Long gone.
Not even respect for the Nick Foles effort throws either.
My sandwich is calling me in the media room.
See, it's just not. It's not a definition of a grinder. Now, in your defense, I think at this point people must be judging me more than any because nobody else was there. The whole media grandstand, it is just me, and I am not bragging about that. I'm saying it's actually, I think, an indictment on me that I'm the only one left out there, you know, trying to pick up whatever I can possibly pick up from Chris Tabor, and you know, some kind of special teams drill, something like that, because I'm so desperate. But yes, you did have a fan came by and asked where you were. It said, you know, he doesn't watch special teams.
Well, next time, come say hi earlier. I've seen some special teams.
I think he actually might have said, Adam Johns just doesn't come out to practice? And I was like, no, he was here. He just has no respect for special teams whatsoever.
Yeah.
There's got to be a listener that will go to Carmel games this year and give us like full Pro Football Focus style breakdowns. Except I don't like the idea of doing that with high school students. So let's bring that back. I just want a full
grade. Wait a minute. I will take them. I mean, if PFF wants to come out and help grade the games, I will greatly take that information.
Well, let's not make the grades public then, but somebody's got to grade Hogue. Like, just watch him all game long. Every decision he makes, you know, I want the mannerisms. I want that. Like,
well, even if you're a fan of the opposing team to Carmel.
Yeah. If you're just going to be there.
Hashtag Hogue special teams. Let us know.
Oh, no. Why don't you guys come out?
I go and watch my own team.
Oh, yeah. Notre Dame.
Yeah. No comment. The green and the white.
Well, Kevin, you're welcome.
Northwestern's got a Friday night game, so I'm booked.
Yeah, they do.
Friday night game.
A Friday night. So you're booked for all Fridays because they have one game on Friday.
I will say I've been to one high school football game in maybe the last 10 years, and it was a Carmel game. So,
who are they playing?
Great question. It was when I wrote an article about Carmel. This was 3 years ago. About all
Why don't you do it again?
Bears players. There are new Bears players on the staff.
Yes. Well, you wrote it when Blake Annan was the head coach.
Yep. Blake Annan was head coach, and assistants were Nathan Vasher and Johnny Knox.
Okay. Now the head coach is Jason McKee.
Yep.
And the assistants are Rasheed Davis and a lot of other awesome coaches, too. And then there's also me, but that comes after. And I just desperately desperately stand in the stands trying to watch Bears special teams drills. So, all right. But at least I'm out there. Adam Johns is not. Technically, Kevin was not either, but they're not heckling you. They just heckle you about number 53.
I'm still waiting for the official NFL release to come out to confirm waived injured, because to me, that means it was an injury that cost LaDarius Mack his job, opposed to a skill set, you know, opposed to anything about his talent, his abilities, what he's shown in camp. And they will just revert back to injured reserve, continue to learn under Bill Shuey and Sean Desai and, of course, his brother Khalil Mack, and be ready to go next training camp.
Okay. And that's the facts. That's 100% truth.
All right.
Also Kevin's guy, Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel, we'll see him in a couple weeks.
L.A.?
In Los Angeles.
Doesn't
you're
he play
see
the
him play?
Chargers?
Oh, did he go? Did he go? Did he go to the Chargers? I thought he went to the Rams.
He is in the Chargers. Yes,
I know
yes.
their uniforms are very
it's so confusing.
Last week. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, it was because the Staley thing, and I was actually thinking I had also because Matthew Stafford went to the Rams and he backed up Matthew Stafford last year. That's where my head. Who's Stafford's backup? We got a couple weeks to figure it out. Okay, we are not onto the Rams quite yet. Obviously, we will get there. It is still early, and maybe it'll be Nick Foles. But when it's all said and done.
Wasn't it that guy who got the Bears into the playoffs? Who's that quarterback who was like played for the Rams who beat the remember they beat the Cardinals with that backup?
Oh yeah. Is it John Wofford?
Yes,
that is him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wofford Terriers, but different Wofford.
Wofford Terriers. Yeah, that's right. All right. Follow us on Twitter. More shenanigans there. They're killing you, Kevin. At Adam Hoag. I think they should be nice. I think they should be sending you condolences.
You know what? I appreciate that they're getting the bit.
Yeah.
You know, they're buying into it. And turning to create a Ladarius Mack fan club, you get him on the pod. That's one step closer to getting Khalil on the pod. Suddenly it's the Hoag, Johns, and Khalil show featuring Ladarius Mack. And yeah, this is just all the beginning.
But then we wouldn't have you.
I can still pop in here.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ladarius isn't going to replace Kevin. That'd be a plot twist. All this hype he's given him, he just comes and takes a spot.
Yeah, it could be a real Wally Pipp situation. I've taken this like fan fiction thing and really, really stretched
it
out.
It's fun. All right. At Adam Hoag, at Adam Johns, at K Fishbane. Read those guys on The Athletic, theathletic.com/Hoag and Johns. Read me, NBC Sports Chicago.com. YouTube channel, Hoag and Johns. Find it there. Subscribe. Get the notifications and the t-shirts. The Walking Bear shirts are hot. I need to call Bears. Wait a minute. All this talk about our listeners, I got to call them out. Okay. We were going to give away 10 shirts to you guys at the game. And we did not get 10 people. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, we did not get 10 people to do this on Saturday. I thought this was like a shoo-in. Am I crazy? You're telling me 10 people didn't show up to the game with Hoag and Johns shirts to get another free shirt? I'm not even afraid to admit that here on this podcast because I'm now challenging you because I was floored by that.
And a lot of fans said, hey.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you still want to wear your jersey and everything. I'm all good with that. But, you know, you got to wear a shirt under your jersey. Do people wear jerseys without an undershirt?
I don't know.
If they do, don't.
I can't say the last time I put a jersey on.
Me neither. I can't either, to be honest. Kevin, though, was wearing his Ladarius Mack jersey to practice today, which I thought was kind of weird.
53.
All right. We will be back Saturday, post-game. Another post-game episode. See what it's like. Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields. I'm excited. I'm excited. Get your butt out there with the Hoag and Johns shirts. It's not that hard. You get another shirt. Talk to you Saturday.
See ya.
Justin Fields time, baby!
Hey, hey! Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.